All this week on The Takeaway, we've been looking at what life is like for people after they leave prison. And today, the story of a man who's lived this transition and now shepherds others through it too.
Good evening, everybody.
Hey!
Good to be back. See you, everybody.
Stanley Richards is the executive vice president of the Fortune Society, which is based here in New York City. The Fortune Society provides housing, counseling, job training, and other services to help people get back on their feet after they're released from prison. Each week, Stanley leads a large communal meeting at the group's housing facility in Upper Manhattan. There, people can talk about their struggles and their successes transitioning to life on the outside. Frequently, that means discussing how to manage emotions like anger and avoiding behavior that could get you thrown right back into prison. To counsel those who are struggling, Stanley draws heavily from his own life.
When those situations happen, you almost got to freeze it in your mind, in your mind here and in your emotional mind, and say, what is going on? And for me, when I realized being hurt, being able to articulate that I'm hurt, I was feeling it and I was responding to it and I had a lot of energy and anger around it, but I wasn't able to articulate it. But once I identified it and I was able to articulate it, then I no longer needed to express myself through violence. I no longer needed to use my aggression to define who I am and how I respond to situations.
I sat down with Stanley to talk more about how his own experience has informed his work with the Fortune Society.
I was born and raised in Soundview in the Bronx in the projects. And every day all I seen and all I heard was messages about who I was, right? I was a young black man who was going to either end up in jail or end up dead. And what I did end up is in jail. And so I thought that that's what my life was going to be about. And I learned how to live that life. So I stayed on the streets. I cycled in and out of jail, in and out of Rikers. And my last incarceration, where I was sentenced to 9 years, I did 4.5 years. When I went to prison, I went to school and I got my GED. And then I started questioning all of the messages I got because I thought I was dumb. I thought I couldn't have a life. And when I got my GED, it said, no, you're not that person. Then somebody encouraged me to go to college and I went to college. And I realized that the messages that I was getting, the life that I was living, was all wrong. That is not who I am. So I realized at that time that my life was in my hand and that I could change it if given just the opportunity. So I came home with the idea of getting a job and changing my life. And when I came home, I started applying for these jobs. Nobody would give me an opportunity. Everybody said you had to have experience. I never got frustrated in the point that I gave up on myself. I just kept trying. And Fortune was the organization that hired me as a counselor in 1991. And that's where I started, and I stayed there until about 97. I went and I worked at Hunter College for a number of years, and then I came back to Fortune in 2001 as a senior director, and today I'm the executive vice president.
So we talked a little bit about the Fortune Society. What is the broader mission? What is it that you all are really trying to get done?
Well, our mission is twofold. One is to provide a safety net for men and women coming home from prison pretty much after much of the damage has been done. People don't have the ability to trust because trusting and vulnerability in prison will get you hurt, could get you killed. So what people end up learning are the behaviors that you can survive in prison on, but those behaviors will not allow you to survive in the community. But we help people rebuild their life through services. And we offer a range of services, housing, employment, substance abuse treatment, mental health treatment, family reunification. Any service that people will need, they can have under one roof to rebuild their life. Then we provide off-ramps for people so we can divert people from going through the damage of the criminal justice system. And then the third part of our mission is to change the policies that chew up so many people in the criminal justice system. We feel like it is just not enough to be a safety net at the end of the system. We have to be doing some upstream work on the policies that involve and chew up so many black and brown people from hard hit communities.
When you think about, when you deal with this population that's coming out of prison, what are some of the things that rise to the top? Like, are there certain things that you see are most urgent for this population?
Absolutely. One of the things we've been seeing over the years has been housing. Housing is critical to someone's stability when they come home. Over 50% of the people who were released from New York State prison into New York City ended up in the New York City shelter system. What worse way to ensure someone's return to prison than after serving time, say that they have to go and live in a New York City shelter and they have to find a job and they have to rebuild their lives? We just think that that policy is not a policy that makes sense.
So I'm struggling with, with this idea that someone will pay their, dues to society, if you will be incarcerated, they will serve their sentence, they'll come out, and yet there seems to be a long tail of punitiveness that kind of takes you throughout, your reentry phase. Like, it's not enough to have served the time. Why aren't we doing more at the federal level? I mean, I think what you guys are doing at the Fortune Society is great. Yeah. I hear lots of other organizations doing things, but why isn't this more embedded into our society that folks need a pathway out?
That's a great question, and that's part of what Fortune Society is doing is advocating and putting a face on this issue. Because we think that it's easy to sort of otherize people, to put them to the side. It doesn't really impact me if you don't have a face on it, if you hear it in the news or you read it in the papers or you hear it in conversation. So part of what we do is put a face on it. Because we have a saying that we say at Fortune is that we see the beauty in people before they see it in themselves. And I think for us as a country, we tend to not see beauty in people. We see all the bad that they do. We see all the damage that they do. But we don't see the beauty in each other. And as a country, the moment we stop saying, that's someone else, it doesn't really apply to me, and we see people as human, as someone who could be my neighbor, who could be my family member, and we ought to be giving them second chances like most people got, then we can change this dialogue and we can change how and the way we work with criminal justice and reentry. But we're a long way from there. We don't see people for who they are. We see them for what they did.
Stanley Richards, Executive Vice President of the Fortune Society. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
This is Jason. I'm calling from Gainesville, Florida. I spent a year in prison for statutory rape. And the hardest thing about getting out was other people thinking because you're a sex offender that you're a pedophile. And it took nearly a decade for people to start realizing that I was just another guy who was just trying to live and work. And even then, there's still people who refuse to accept that I'm a decent human being.
My name is Will. I spent 2.5 years at the South Carolina Department of Corrections. The biggest obstacle whenever people get out is that they can legally be discriminated against for almost all services.
My name is Reese from Grand Prairie. And when I got out of prison, the hardest thing that I encountered was finding a job. I had to go through the Texas Workforce Commission and complete at least 10 job interviews a week, but nobody wanted to hire a convicted felon who was on parole and was going to have to take half a day off every week to report to the parole. It took me 3.5 months to find a job. When somebody finally did grant me an interview, they gave me the job, and as of next month, I've been there for 10 years.
Hi, this is Lem calling from New York. The hardest part when I first came home was feeling like people on the street could look at me and tell that I was an ex-convict. I felt judged by complete strangers and was being treated less than because of my status.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.